You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Bear me up on wings of angels. Let me hear the choir sing. Let me see the faces of cherubim. Lift me up on wings of angels, three or four or more, and place me in my weakness, perfect at your door.
What a gorgeous song by Roseanne Cash, Wings of Angels. A song off the Anchored in Love CD, a tribute to June Carter Cash. John Carter Cash was a guest of ours a few weeks back. Had a great time catching up with him and finding out about his mom and his dad. An amazing couple, indeed. And another amazing couple that have affected many of our lives, of course, has been Dr. Billy and Ruth Graham. And, of course, a few weeks ago, we were sad to hear about the loss of Ruth Graham. But it's one of those double-edged things, you know. Everybody seems to be, not everybody, but I guess the family, from what I've heard, very happy that she's gone home to meet the Lord. And look, if we really believe in this Jesus stuff, if we really believe that there's a heaven, if we really believe that God is there welcoming Ruth Graham into his arms, then there should be a celebration. But I'm on the outside, and speculation only goes so far. So let's talk with someone inside the family. And Ruth Graham joins us right now. Good to have you one more time, Ruth. This is, what, your third or fourth time on our show?
I think so, and I always have a good time. And let's be sure to clarify that I am the daughter, that you are not speaking to an angel from heaven.
With the song I played? That's hilarious, oh, Ruth. Now, listen, that's got to be strange, isn't it? Now that your mom has passed, I mean, before there was always the confusion with people here that, Ruth Graham, oh, Ruth Graham.
There has always been a bit of confusion, but mother's writings and mother's person was Ruth Bell Graham.
Right.
And although that is my name, I don't use that to try to eliminate some of the confusion. But Drew, to be perfectly honest with you, when we said goodbye to mother and there were lots of activities surrounding that, it did hit me that I was now her namesake. I mean, I always have been, but now I bear the burden of that.
That's what I was thinking,
And the responsibility of that, because she was a remarkable woman, and I'm quite different from my mother. But it's a great privilege and great honor, because she was just a lovely, delightful woman who really people have always introduced her as the wife of, but really she was her own person with her own gifts and talents, and her writings are beautiful and mean so much to so many people. So, you know, she is a person in her own right.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because living in the shadow of Dr. Billy Graham is something that the entire family has probably had to do. But every time I talk to a member of your family, first of all, every one of you say the same thing. It's an honor to live in his shadow, number one. And number two, we don't really feel like we're living in a shadow.
That's
each
right.
of you have sort of come into your own in some way.
That's right. Each of us has we're all very different. We all have very strong personalities.
Who's the most bullheaded? Who's the most stubborn in your family? Come on.
If I told you who that was, they'd come after me.
All right.
I think we can all be pretty strong-willed, but I'm probably the lesser of all of them. Because I'm the middle child, and I have the middle child syndromes, and I'm a people pleaser. But
yeah.
It's real interesting when we all get together. Boy, you can sure see, that we struggle with our opinions and strong personalities.
Isn't that funny? Listen, Ruth, you and I talked privately on the phone about this earlier this, or was it this week or last week? But just can we just clear something up for the public? Because
sure.
There's this perception out there that there was a disagreement as to where your mom and dad were to be buried.
That is correct, and the Washington Post had an article that was more tabloid-esque than worthy of the Washington Post. But actually, it was a decision that my parents made, and the Washington Post and one of their reporters inserted themselves into that decision. And again, all five children had opinions.
Sure.
And they didn't always agree. But we all agreed that mother and daddy were going to make that decision, and they did, and my mother is buried in Charlotte. She wanted to be buried beside my father. And my father will be buried in Charlotte, and so my mother wanted to be buried there beside him. And so she awaits his arrival.
So there was no big family hoo-ha?
No.
Okay.
No.
I just wanted to clear that up. Once and for all, folks, you heard it here. It's clear. It's done. Let's not talk about it again.
That's right.
The day that your mom passed, where were you?
I was there. They had phoned me on Monday that she was going to glory soon, and so I rushed down to be there, and she died on Thursday, and was so glad that when I arrived, she recognized me and knew who I was and was able to communicate a little bit.
Oh, that's true.
And so I was very grateful for that time, and I was able to sit with her during that week, as did other members of the family. So it wasn't until Thursday that she finally entered into the Lord's presence.
About what time of day was it, Ruth?
It was 5:05 in the afternoon.
I mean, what was the moment like? I don't want to get too mystical here, but what, looking back on it, I mean, that's burned into your memory forever.
It is. My mother was struggling for breath, so it was very painful to watch her struggle, and we really were praying that God would just come get her. And, you know, I know that there is a tendency, and boy, I hope I don't get into trouble here, but there's a tendency for people to say tell stories that when saints die, they see angels, or they sit up in the bed and quote a Bible verse, or they see family members in the distance. For my mother, it was just simply she stopped breathing, and we knew that she was gone, and she was in the presence of the one that she adored. There was no flash of light. There was no radiant face. There was no, you know, heavenly manifestation. My mother just simply stepped from one life into the next and got her new body, because her old body just simply wore out. And now she is in heaven dancing. We don't tell the Baptists that, but but we, you know, we just, there was sadness, but boy, there was joy. And we stood around her bed and we sang the doxology. I should say we croaked the doxology, because we just praised God that she was finally with him. And then as others came into the room, more of her staff and so forth, we sang the doxology again, and we were much stronger. But it was a really sweet time, and her body was there with us for about 2 hours, and we stayed with her and just loved on her and talked about her and sang and quoted Bible verses. I mean, I don't want to be over-spiritual about it, but it was a really sweet time. And a memory that will be forever etched in my mind is we knew that Mother was very close, and so we called Daddy into her room, and just about the time he got there, it was really within moments, but Daddy is frail himself, but he walked ever so slowly to her bed and gently, slowly bent over her body, petted her face, leaned very close, and said, "I love you so much." That was a picture of true love to me. Not People magazine, not whatever the Hollywood's putting out, but here was this dear woman. They would have been married 64 years, curled up almost in a fetal position, you know, dying. But his love for her was just palpable, and his face just was so soft and so tender as he spoke to the one he's loved for so long.
Well, you know, I've said this to you before. Your mom and dad have been the number one inspiration in regards to hope in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to strive towards in my marriage. When, you know, because let's not kid ourselves, marriage is tough, and you both really, really have to work at it. But that's the vision that I get. That's the goal I head towards is your mom and dad. Every time you, for example, you telling me that little bit right there where your daddy bent over your mom and said that to her, it's such an emotional thing.
It really was. And what a security their love gave to all five of their children.
That's tremendous. That's tremendous. Well, now the grieving it starts in everybody, and each personality grieves differently, and there's no rule book on grieving.
No.
And then we mix it with the Christian hope of a life after with God in the presence of Jesus and the celebratory aspect. What does grieving look like for you, Ruth?
Well, Drew, because Mother left us so slowly, I feel like I was able to grieve before she died,
right,
to some extent.
Right.
And there has been some weeping. I wept as they took her body from the house and down the mountain, realizing she would never come back to the mountain again. And the mountain was, and that's our home. Her fingerprints are all over it. And that was her cocoon. That was her place of refreshment. That's where she met the Lord. That's where she raised us. I mean, just so much symbolized in that home. So there was weeping then. And then I had to speak, actually. It was in a few days in Orlando, Florida, and I came back through Charlotte, and I stopped by the grave, and I said, please don't tell anybody I'm here. I just want to go visit my mother. And I wept then.
Yeah.
But I really have been rejoicing, and there are sadnesses. Last Sunday I went to my church for the first time, and some of the hymns we sang reminded me of Mother, and there was sadness, and so many people's condolences are sweet and tender, but sometimes it evokes sadness.
Sure.
I was in a doctor's office this week and reading a magazine. It was, you know, a May issue, and they were talking about Mother's Day, and there was a catch in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want her back. I don't want her in the body that she was in. She is with Amy Carmichael. She's with Henrietta Mir. She's with Corrie Ten Boom. She's with, you know, Peter and Paul and the Lord Jesus himself. I don't want her back. I'm looking forward to seeing her again. I just, it's really been a grace from God.
That's amazing. You know, when you put it into those terms and the category of women that she will be partying with, for lack,
yes,
of a better phrase, that's moving.
Well, she really was mentored by Amy Carmichael, and of course they never met. And so I know that that's one of the people that Mom wanted to go see first, after she'd greeted her family members and people like that. But I just think of all the fun that Mother's having. And we miss her, and we will miss her forever, you know, until we see her. And she's made an indelible impression on her children, obviously, but also on so many people. And Mother, as I talk about in my little book about Mother, Legacy of Love, used to make this statement, make the most of all that comes and the least of all that goes. And I believe she would have that advice for us now. Mother is gone, but we look forward to what's ahead. And when Daddy would travel and we would say goodbye to him at the train station, I'm sure her heart ached to see him go. But immediately she would begin to plan for his homecoming. And so that's a little bit, she's transferred that to me. That's the way I view this. It is not a final goodbye. It's just, you know, we're getting ready to go see her.
Ruth, during the funeral and the time of greeting people and welcoming condolences, etc., I remember with my own mother's funeral, and there was a lineup right out the mm-hmm. door of the funeral home and down the street, and my mother was quite a woman in the community. And I remember every once in a while there'd be somebody that would just, it would be a real pleasure to see them, and they would just bring out so many memories of my mom. Was there somebody in that procession or that lineup of people that just stands out from your point of view?
I think to just try to call it one would be difficult.
Unfair.
But if I had to, and I don't want to neglect others.
No.
But there is one woman who came, and I hadn't seen her in years and years and years. She was a refugee from Hungary when the Russians ran over it. And she and her husband had fled the country and come to Montreat. And I didn't even remember that she was still alive. But she came. She's all bent over with osteoporosis, so she basically looks down at the floor. And she came, frail little lady, with a cane, and greeted me. And immediately it evoked memories of my childhood. And of Mother visiting with her. And my mother admired this woman so much because of what she'd been through. And raising her, actually her husband had been killed, and raising her four children alone. Mother had enormous respect for her. So, yes, that was an impression on me.
Wow, that's tremendous. Well, look, we won't take much more of your time. We'll let you go here, Ruth. But just before we say goodbye, I always enjoy having you on my show.
Oh, thank you.
There has been much talk and speculation about your father and how much they, of course, he loved your mom. And I've seen this in many, many couples over the years. When one spouse dies and they're desperately in love with each other, then it's not too long afterwards that the other spouse says, you know what, I just, there's something in them that they just let go and God takes them home. There's been much talk about that. When people talk about the possibility that your father, Billy Graham, might be going soon after your mother's death, how does that make you feel?
I don't think he's going to go soon after mother's death. My father's doing remarkably well. Like the rest of us, he had an opportunity to grieve before mother left. And I think, and I say this cautiously and kindly, I think for my father, for the last years, he has been so concerned about my mother. And if he were away, he would be feeling guilty that he was gone. He would be wanting to get back to her. He would be concerned about her. He would worry. And I think that now he doesn't have that burden anymore. And again, I say that very, I hope that your listeners understand what I'm saying.
Sure. Let me say this. It almost sort of frees him up to get a whole new band of energy to serve God more.
It does. And he's making plans for the future. This week he had so many of his grandchildren around him for the 4th of July. And I think, again, the... when mother was alive, all the grandchildren sort of gathered around her. And now he's the grand patriarch, and he says, my family really does love me, you know, and they're going to be there for me. And I think it's really a wonderful opportunity for daddy to be the patriarch and to know that he's loved and adored by his family, not just the world. And I think he's looking forward to writing a new book about old age that I've encouraged him to write for a long time. He's got trips planned. He's even remodeling the house. He said, I've always wanted a den. I'm going to make myself a den. So he's doing great. You know, and that's a result of your listeners' prayers. And as a member of the family, let me thank them for their prayers, because it has carried us through what could have been a very difficult time.
That's a tremendous, tremendous tribute. Again, on the phone, folks, with Ruth Graham, author, Bible teacher, daughter of Billy and Ruth Graham. And let me remind you folks to pick up a copy of her book, Legacy of Love. It is a tremendous read, and you can get it at any of your local Christian bookstores, as well as probably Amazon and everywhere else, Ruth. So, well, listen, I one of these days we've got to meet face to face, don't we?
I would love that, Ruth.
just before we let you go, I just want to try something here and see if we can bring someone else in on this conversation.
Okay.
Anthony, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Anthony, this is your Aunt Ruth. You want to say hi to each other?
How are you?
Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Where are you?
I am actually in Terry Falwell's office.
Ah, great.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
I just listened to you, and everything went well.
I want to just say in front of everybody here, first of all, this is Anthony. How do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, wow. Chavijan.
Chavijan.
It rhymes with religion.
Yes.
It's Chavijan, and there's a T in front of it, but that is silent, and it just rhymes with religion. That's the
got it. Okay. So Anthony Chavijan joins us on the phone as well, just while we've got Ruth on the phone, Ruth Graham. And Anthony's mother is Gigi, and Gigi is the sister to Ruth Graham. And so we kind of got a bit of a family reunion going here right now.
That's great.
And here's the thing, Ruth. I'm not sure whether you realize this, but Anthony told me a couple of days ago. He said, you know, Ruth is my favorite aunt.
Oh, well, I can't say he's my favorite nephew. That would be unfair, but he's right up there.
No, I don't think that'd be unfair. I think it'd be a lie.
Anyway, I just wanted to get you two on there real quick. We're going to talk to Anthony about this website, thankyoubilly.com. And is there a website coming up, thankyouruth.com, Anthony?
Is, oh, for our grandmother?
Yes.
Well, the website is for both of them.
Oh, tremendous.
And we will talk about that, yeah, absolutely.
Ah, that's great. That's great. Ruth, yeah. we'll let you go. I'll let you and Anthony just have a quick little goodbye there.
Okay, great. Anthony, have fun.
All right. Well, thank you. So, I mean,
thank you for what you're doing with this website. I think it's terrific.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, I have, sure.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you have to go to it. You have to go to it soon, because last night we had about 90-something tributes turned in, and about 50 of them brought tears to my eyes.
I think it's just great.
That's incredible.
Wonderful opportunity for people to express their love.
Well, thank you very, very much, and hopefully I'll see you soon.
I hope
I'm serious
too, honey.
I know I say that, but I'm serious this time.
Ruth, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Drew, and God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Are you trying to figure out a way to let thousands know about your product, organization, or business? At just pennies per person, advertising on The Drew Marshall Show is far less expensive than television or print. So why not advertise on The Drew Marshall Show? The Drew Marshall Show covers a population of over 6 million with an estimated listenership of 100,000. The Drew Marshall Show is 100% live, talkback radio, and uniquely Canadian. Therefore, people listen longer. The Drew Marshall Show is listened to by men and women of all ages. People who care, people who have opinions, and people who respond. For more information about advertising on The Drew Marshall Show, just contact us through our website at www.drewmarshall.ca. That's drewmarshall.ca. The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.